Okay, gentlemen, good morning. Good
morning.
In the words of Richard, that he's repeated numerous times, Lag Sameach. You know that one?
Yeah.
That's number 33.
I think 33 is free. Okay.
Yeah, that's free. Good. Okay. So, some of you missed last week, so we'll just briefly catch you up. So remember, we introduced this concept of ownership. There is ownership of property, and the way to relinquish ownership, the way to detach oneself from owning an item, is through a process of yush, which means abandonment, giving up hope of ever getting it back. And that the result of yush is that the item becomes hefka, becomes ownerless, and therefore anyone can come along and pick it up. So that's why the Mishnah says, these are things which you're allowed to keep. Yeah, an item you find in the street, you're allowed to keep it because the person has already had yush and the item is hefka. And there are some things, of course, which are not, which a person would not have yush on. And the Mishnah then goes ahead and gives a long list of the things which a person would have yush on, and these are objective things which we're going to assume, right? Chazal have these rules which are things which we're going to assume that a person would automatically have yush on. One wouldn't need to ask the person and go ahead. There is an assumption that these things a person would have yush on. And included in the list is peiros mefuzarin. If a person found spread out fruit which was spread out, or produce is a more accurate translation. Spread out. It's spread out. That's all we see from the Mishnah.
Arranged, mean?
All we see from the Mishnah is that it's spread out. I don't want to use the word scattered, because scattered would infer that it's all spread out and in a random way. Yeah, it's spread out. For the moment, we can use that. We're not sure exactly what that means and how much it's spread out. It seems that any situation that you find spread out produce, you're allowed to keep it. Right? And we ask the question, what if you find a truckload of potatoes on the side of the I-93? Yeah, they're spread out, and they're fruits, or they're produce. So seemingly, you're allowed to take it out. You're allowed to keep it for yourself. So the Gemara assumed that, of course, that's not true, but we're looking for a quantifiable measure of an objective level, that this is the level that a person would have yish on, and anything more than that, a person would not have yish on, and therefore you're not allowed to keep it. But this is the objective level. That's what the Gemara asked for. Kama, what is this level? What is this quantifiable measure? And we saw Amar Rebbe Yitzchak, Kav Ba'arba Amos. Rebbe Yitzchak said, this is a kav in Arba Amos, a measure of a kav, which is approximately 10 potatoes in the space of about 6 feet. So that is the measure that a person would have yush on, the maximum measure that a person would have yush on. Any more than that, no yush, you're not allowed to take it. So we pointed out that there seems to be two features over here, right? A kav and arba amos. A kav seemingly would pertain to the measure of value, measure of cost, right? The value, this is a valuable item or is not a valuable item. And that, of course, would make a difference, have big implications on whether a person is going to have yush. If you lost a very valuable item, I'm hoping to get it back. If it wasn't so valuable,
So a kav is a measure of not a measure of weight, but
it's a measure of weight, a measure of quantity, yeah. But we're going to ascribe to it the feature of whether it's going to enact yush or not would seemingly be this feature of cost, the feature of value. Yeah, something more valuable, person wouldn't have yush, less valuable. That's the level that they would have yush at. So the maximum level that a person would not have yush, meaning beyond that, it's just too valuable, so I'm definitely going to come back for it, is called a kav. And the other measure being arba amos. Arba amos is a space, and we're talking about the space that the produce is scattered in.
That's square amos?
This is arba amos.
It's 4 square?
Arba amos.
What? 4 meters.
I don't know what it means yet.
2 meters.
Doesn't yeah, but
You're asking an excellent question.
It is a square.
You are asking
4x4.
But it
you're asking an excellent question.
Two.
Presumably, at this point, it seems like it's arba amos, al arba amos, four amos by four amos. Okay, this is four amos, and the measure, the variable there, if we were to apply a tag to it, it would be effort. Right, arba amos, that's a lot of effort, right? If you've got to be picking up your produce, the actual example of the Gemara uses is not apples. It's actually talking about produce, talking about grain. So grain is going to be a hard thing to pick up. So, you know, picking up each individual kernel from the floor in a space of arba amos, you're going to be there for a very long time, right? So this is effort. So if you're going to increase the level of effort, right, that's going to make it more likely for him to have yish. Decrease the level of effort. Seemingly, if it will be three amas, yeah, a calf in three amas, then that you would come back for. Right, because it's less effort to pick up your calf. So we have both of these variables over here, the calf and the arba amas, which seemingly are a difference that make a difference. Those are the defining factors, and we'd call it perhaps a golden ratio, a golden proportion, or in Hebrew, a proportzia hazahav. Yeah, this golden proportion, golden ratio, that this is the level that a person can have yush. Any more valuable or less effort, then for that, a person would come back less valuable and more effort, all the more so, he's not going to come back. Change one of these variables, either way, it would make a difference.
But in any case, somebody should pick up what he found or not.
So there is a mitzvah of hashavas aveda, of returning a lost item, of returning a lost object, and therefore, if it's something which is shaloi, you're allowed to pick it up and keep it and take it home. If it's something shechayev lahachris that you're obligated to announce, that you've got to take into your property and look after it.
Cannot do anything.
You have to take it into your property and look after it and announce it and look after it until
it's
the owner comes.
In any case, not to take home and try to figure out what is valuable or not. But this, if, for example, pencil, I cannot or one penny. Who cares about penny?
Right. So
to pick up or not?
No. So the next thing in the Mishnah is ma'is mufuzaris, coins which are spread out. Coins you're allowed to keep. You see a coin, there's no simon on it, there's no sign on it. It's unrecognizable that it belongs to someone in particular.
No, but I don't
ask. So that you're allowed to keep?
No, but I ask you, I don't want to pick up.
Can he pass it by?
I don't care about this item.
Well, if it's something you're allowed to keep, then kazintahate.
I don't want to keep it.
If you don't want, so it depends. If it's something you are, if it's something which you're allowed to keep, meaning if it's hefka, listen to the answer. If it's hefka, then you can do whatever you like with it. You can pick it up or you can not pick it up.
But this is what this is. In some cases, I can. This is allowed me not to pick up.
Yeah, but as long as it's hefka, as long as it's not, as long as it's ownless, as long as it's one of the things which you would be allowed to pick up. If it's one of the things which you're not allowed to pick up, meaning it has an owner, then on that thing you have a mitzvah of hashavas aveda, a mitzvah of returning a lost item, and the mitzvah of returning a lost item is a two-pronged mitzvah. There's one, a positive commandment to return the lost item, and there's two, a negative commandment that you're not allowed to pass up on it. Al tis alim, vahis alam tabeham. You're not allowed to hide yourself from a lost item. The only situation where you would be exempt from returning a lost item, right? There's a mitzvah, there's a negative transgression. You would be transgressing a Torah obligation of don't hide yourself away from it if you would not return it, unless you are zokein ve'eino lefi kavoda, an elderly person, or it's not honorable for you to be schlepping an ox, you know, the chairman or some CEO of a company, or you know, schlepping along an ox. That's inappropriate, so you would be exempt from this. But otherwise, you're obligated to pick it up and return it.
Now, before we return,
but if it's ownless, then you don't have to, of course.
Well,
you can leave it for another person to take.
the million different items we can find during the one day.
But, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they are not lost, sometimes someone is around, but you cannot know, actually. But it's a question about what you should do. If this is your business to pick up, to analyze what is valuable or not from a jewelry. This is maybe $1, maybe, who knows, maybe $1 million. This is not to have a lot of efforts to know what is it. Ring. It's not clear. This is a gold ring.
So I'm not sure. So that would come. That's a question. So in a question where you have a suffix, a doubt about whether this is a lost item or it's not a lost item, then I'm not sure. There would be a halakhic response to this. As in, it's a suffix. You have a doubt about whether it's a lost item or not.
You would think, or whether it's a suffix, you'd have to announce it.
Presumably. We'd say it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and by a d'oraisa, by a Torah commandment, there on a suffix, in a doubt, in any case of doubt, we are machmir, we're stringent.
Meaning to announce it.
Meaning that you would have to announce it if there's a doubt as to whether it's valuable or not, whether it's hefka or it has an owner.
But
practically, how does this play out? I'm not sure. It's an excellent question.
Okay.
So this is the
if I may ask, before we were talking about produce that's distributed on the ground. Now that's going to deteriorate. Does that affect the equation?
If it's hefka, keep it gesintate, right? Remember, if anything which is hefka is on a question, do I have to announce it, or am I allowed to pass up on it? Is it going to make a difference? No, it's yours. So pick it up and keep it if you like.
How would we know if it's hefka or not?
We have our quantifiable. We have the quantifiable thing. We have a list here, and within each category, we then have an amount, right? Fruit that is scattered, produce which is scattered. How much is it scattered? How much produce is there? So we have our golden ratio, which is as long as there's a kav in Arba Amos, and no more than a kav, and no less than Arba Amos, you're allowed to keep it, isn't it? Okay, any more valuable than a kav or less effort than Arbamos, then you're not allowed to keep it. And you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and if it's going to deteriorate, then you wouldn't be allowed to leave it there. You would have a mitzvah to gather it up and collect it and put up a sign and look after it for someone. The Gemara recounts a story about one of the Amoraim that found a couple of goats or something. And he brought the goats into his house and took care of the goats, waiting for the owner, put them in their special pen. And then goats did as goats do. They reproduced and had some more baby goats running around. And then those ones reproduced and had even more goats running around. Eventually he had a huge flock of goats. And he went to market with the whole flock and he exchanged it for a treasure trove, for a chest of gold coins. And sometime later, the owner came back past the house, realized, oh, one second, I recognize this path. This was the place that I lost my goats all those years ago. And so he knocked on the door and said, you don't happen to see my goats, have you? And he said, yes, here you go, here's your goats. And he gave him this chest full of gold coins. Yeah. So this is the extent that a person has to go. This is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Right, of course, he gave him the bill for the food, for however much. There's a cost, right? You can charge him also for the time that it took to gather in the grain.
Because
right?
if you took care of it for him, if you would find him. Expenses.
Yeah, you're not obligated to pay any expenses for the mitzvah, right? For this mitzvah of returning a lost object. But there is a mitzvah to return a lost object. So this is Rabbi Yitzchak, a kav in Arba Amos. So let's have a look. Let's go into the Gemara and see this read out. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Kav Ba'arba Amos. Heichu Dami. Now the Gemara, which we saw last week, asks a question. E derek nafila. what is this case? How is the case of a kav in an Arba Amos actually ever going to be relevant? Right? Surely, if it's derech nefila, if it's just scattered, right? Derech nefila. Now we would use the word scattered. If you look at the produce and you see it's scattered, afilu tuva nami. Even more than a kav in Arba Amos, you should be allowed to keep. Why? When you see something scattered, what does it mean?
More effort to come back for it.
A kav in Arba Amos. Same kav in Arba Amos. Or more than a kav in Arba Amos. What does it mean if you find something scattered on the floor? What does it mean? What do you think? What happened?
How did it get that way?
Yeah.
Fell off the,
fell off the wagon. Good. Yeah. It fell off. Well, but what does it mean if it fell off the wagon?
Yeah, you probably won't notice it and won't be back for it.
Guy didn't notice it. Guy has no idea what's going on. He's lost it. That is a classic lost object where the person's definitely going to have yish. Yeah, there's automatic yish. If you look at it, it's totally scattered. Right? Scattered means the guy's had yish. Means the guy doesn't know where it is. He's got no idea, no hope of getting it back. On the other hand, ve'i derech hinuach, if it is spread in a very, very specific way, in a pattern, in a, some sort of formation, it looks like it's being placed there, afilu batzimei hachinami lo, even less than a kav in Arba Amos, he put it there specifically. Right? You've got two apples there, the look like they're forming a goalpost. Yeah, goalposts there. Hey, it's only four apples, and it's spread out over a whole football field. Yeah, but it looks like it's been placed there with intentionally. So that, even less than a kav, or even more than Arba Amos, also you're not allowed to keep. So where are we ever going to have this situation where we objectively have a kav in Arba Amos, any more than a kav, any less than a kav? Seemingly, just look at the way that it's spread. Is it scattered, or has it been placed? Is it derech nefila? Is it derech hinuach? Right, and that should be our deciding feature. Have a look at the way that it's scattered, the way that it's spread. Yeah? So kav in Arba Amos seemingly is a redundant measure. Does that make sense? You understand that?
Not really.
Not really? Okay, so again, if you would see four fruits that are perfectly... Let's say 20 sweets, yeah, that's 20 candies spread out, and they spell out the words "Happy Birthday." And you see that on the floor.
That's obviously some planned.
It's obviously planned. Let's say that those 20 candies equal less than a kav, and it's spread out over a whole football field. Would you be allowed to keep it?
Is it owner?
Does it have an owner? It says happy birthday. It's spelled out happy birthday. It still says happy birthday. They made a huge happy birthday, so you could look at it from the sky, down a helicopter or airplane.
Obviously, that's someone.
Yeah, will you marry me?
Whatever.
Yeah, obviously, it's someone's. Are you allowed to keep it?
But it's not. No. Yes, of course. It's not a lost object.
Exactly. Right? So if it's derech hinuach, if it's been placed there, if it's very clearly been placed there, kav in Arba Amos is gonna be a factor. Kav in Arba Amos, it doesn't make a difference. Someone put it there. If someone put it there, someone's gonna take it from there. Right? So kav in Arba Amos doesn't make sense. And on the other hand, if it's totally scattered and all over the place, right, where it looks very clearly that a person totally lost it and has no idea where it is. He was walking along with his shopping bag and there was a hole in the bottom, and he didn't realize that there was a slow, trickle of his grains of rice that happened to be more than a kav, and it happened to be that it spilt out in less than Arba Amos, right? But it's totally scattered, right? It wasn't there, put there intentionally, so that seems that the guy is not going to come back for it.
They talk about railroad cars of grain that are leaking. Grain.
Right.
So you have a line of it.
Right.
And they clearly are not going to come back for it. But that's
Right. So there's another. There's
the factor
which Rashi points out also is the person is the, is there's no simon, there's no sign on it, right? It's totally scattered. The person's going to have yush, right? If even when he does chap, when he gets to his village and he realizes one of my bags of potatoes fell off the cart. Well, it's definitely somewhere along this mile, you know, 17 miles to the next shtetl. Yeah, so I'll go back and find it. But there's no simon. There's no sign on it. It was just potatoes. Right? Where am I going to? I'm not going to get it back. Right? So, seemingly, right? A kav. Yeah, we're going to say no. If it's a kav in Arba Amos, then that's when it's no. If it's scattered, he's not coming back. If it's placed, he is coming back. Right? Regardless of whether it's a kav in Arba Amos. So the whole concept, according to this question, as the Gemara is building up, the concept of Kav and Arba Amos is redundant.
Only in the case where it's arranged.
In a case where it's arranged, it's also redundant.
Then it's redundant. In the other case, it's not redundant because you have to have some criteria to decide.
No, again, even if it's more than a Kav, in less than Arba Amos, if it's scattered,
yeah.
what does the guy have in mind? If it's scattered, what does it mean? What happened?
It's going to be easy for him to pick it up when he comes back. It's all.
Where is he coming back to?
He's going to retrace his steps.
Okay, and what's he going to think to himself? I'm going to go there and I'm going to find it. What if someone picked it up? I'm going to take him to Beis Din and I'm going to say, "Huh, you found my grains of rice and it was mine. I can prove to you it was mine." Actually, I can't. I don't have.
They were white. Sorry.
I don't have a simon. Yeah, there's no simon. There's no. He doesn't know where it is. Okay, maybe he does know it. There's no simon.
It's not recognizable.
Right? If it's scattered, looks like it's just fallen. Right? Anyone would be able to come along and pick it up. And even in this case, Calvin Arba Amos is seemingly going to be redundant. Yeah.
We have sort of a contradiction here, because Arkady brought up a good question. What can I leave? What can I not leave? And you said you're not allowed to leave it. You have a mitzvah that you have to take it. So if it's arranged, it would seem like someone's going to be coming back to that place for it. But if it's arranged, it would be something that you're not allowed to take. If you're not allowed to take it, you have to announce it, meaning that you have to sort of...
No. Chayev lahachriz. Look after it. Chayev lahachriz. Chayev lahachriz means all of the mitzvahs of Hashavas Aveda. It means... You have a mitzvah of Hashavas.
So it could be that someone arranged like these, I don't know, nice apples or in like a pyramid or something like that, and you're like, wow, they're arranged, so I have to make sure that nobody takes them, so I have to bring them back to him. So you take all and the guy can come back and he's like, you know how long it took me to make that pyramid of apples?
I don't know. Okay, you have to use. I have to use a seichel.
If some of the arranged is worthy, don't touch it.
You have to use your seichel.
Okay, so you have picked up all his stuff for safekeeping. How does he know that you have it?
Chayev lahachriz means you are obligated to announce it. You have to put up a sign, announce it.
Put up a Facebook ad.
Yeah, take out an ad in the local classified section of the local newspaper.
Subject.
Call up the national Hashavas Aveda hotline that you have in Israel.
Mm-hmm. They have such?
Yep. Yeah. Of course.
And Elson would just start yelling in the middle of the street, "Did anybody lose some money?"
Yeah, that as well.
So many people turn around.
Yeah. Anyway, so the whole concept, the theory of Kav and Arba Amos is redundant. Just look at the way it's spread. Is it scattered or is it being placed there with intention? If it's placed there with intention, the guy's coming back, regardless of whether it's a Kav and Arba Amos or even less than a Kav and Arba Amos. Put it there intentionally. Right? I'm planning on coming back. A couple of shopping bags outside the shuk. Yeah. Persons can plan on coming back for it.
If it's redundant, could you have two measures? I mean, two simonim. One being the Kav and Arba Amos.
So Kav and Arba Amos is totally irrelevant. That's what we're saying. It's totally irrelevant. Or you only have one factor. Factor is Derech Nefila or Derech Hinduach. And Kav and Arba Amos is redundant. Okay? So this is the question which is built up by the Gemara. And the Gemara now is going to seek to explain that there is actually, indeed, a case where Kav and Arba Ames is going to be relevant. Have a look inside. Omar Rabbi Ukva Bar Chama. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Omar Rabbi Ukva Bar Chama. Where is the case? What is the case where a Kav and Arba Ames will indeed be relevant? We're talking about a case of a threshing floor. What is a threshing floor? It's a place where they used to go ahead and bring their grain in and thresh and do tread on it and trample it and separate the grain from the chaff before they would go and do Zaira, throw it up and get the wind to blow away the chaff. In this place, in this Machnesha Devei Dori, what would happen? They would come along and rent space. It would be a public threshing house. They would come along and rent space. They would take a pit, and they would use that zone, that area, to thresh their produce. And then they would collect it all up, put it in a sack, and go away. And then the next person would come along and do theirs. Reuven came along and did his and threshed his grain. Half an hour later, I was on the sign-up list. I saw that Reuven was there a few minutes ago. I come along, and there's grain left on the ground. Am I allowed to keep it, or am I not allowed to keep it? So, in this case, would we say, well, have a look. Is it scattered, or is it spread, or is it there placed intentionally? What would be the answer to that question? Was it there intentionally? Or is it just spread? Is it derech nefila or derech inuach? First, we get this question: mm-hmm. Is it derech nefila or is it derech inuach? If you find some grain, a bit of leftover grain in there, in this threshing pit, is it there scattered? Right, would we say it's in the class of being scattered, or it's in the class of being put there intentionally?
Scattered.
Scattered. Remember, what does scatter mean? The guy doesn't know it's lost. Yeah, it fell off the back of the cart. When he collected his grain from the pit, he didn't know it was there. He may not have known it was there.
He was tired. He was in a hurry. He left it.
He left it. Is there a simon?
He looked on the list, you saw it was Reuven. No better simon than that.
Very good. So it's probably not derech nefila, not scattered. And how about derech inuach? Was it there placed there intentionally with it in mind that he's definitely coming back for it?
Don't think you know that either.
Not necessarily. Yeah, there we're going to say not necessarily, right? So how then are we going to decide whether you're allowed to keep it for yourself or not? There says Rav Ukva Bar Chama, this case, Machnesh Devei Dori, this is what Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about. This is the case where Kav and Arba Ames is relevant, where it was there, it was left there, it was placed there intentionally, but now we're not sure as to whether the guy is going to be coming back for it at all or not. Right, so there we're going to say, well, have a look. Is it a kav in Arba Ames? Right, more than a kav. If it's a kav in Arba Ames, he's just not going to make the effort. It's not worth his time to come back and pick up a kav in Arba Ames. Right, not valuable enough. Too much effort. More than a kav in Arba Ames. Yeah, for sure he's going to come back for it. There, you have to leave it. Wait for Reuven. give him a call. Yeah, get him to remind him that it's there. Maybe collect it for him and charge him for the time. Right there, we can say Chayiv Lahachriz. You have to announce it. It's not yours. But in a Kav and Arba Ames, there in this case, in the Machnesha de Vigori, in the threshing floor, we'll say you're allowed to keep them. Okay, understood?
Yep.
Yeah, so the Gemara speaks this out. We're dealing with a case of a Machnesha de Vigori, of the threshing floor. Kav ba'arba amos denafish tirchayu loy tarich inish v'loy hada asi v'shakel lehu afkuri mafkeluhu. If it's a kav in arba amos, which is a lot of effort, the person is just not going to make the effort, and he's not going to return, and he's not going to come along and take it. Therefore, what's he going to do? He's going to have yush. and the grain, the produce, is going to become hefka. On the other hand, if it was less than arba amos, right, a kavin less than arba amos, torach, he's going to make the effort. He'll come back and he'll come along and take it. And he will not make it, he will not render it hefka. Okay? So this is the case where kavin arba amos is indeed relevant. Good. Understood? Got it? Clear?
Yeah.
Great.
The next question.
Are you sure that we could identify Reuben in this case? I suspect you can't. You don't know what was
there. There's only one Reuben in this area.
Because if there really was a way, you know, a sign-up list, if there really was such a thing, and you said you knew it was Reuben who was the, quote, owner of this, or not the owner of this, I would think it's a siman, and you'd be required to ask him.
I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure because it seems like our objective value is going to say that even if he knew that it was there, even if he would say, "Hey, Reuven, you've got a few grains of wheat, sitting in the thick, there." It's objective, right? Objective that even if he would know that it's sitting there, Reuven ain't coming back for a calf in our Ramos. So we would say no. You are not required to ask him because Chazal say we are going to say objectively that a person does not care about this unless a person had made a hefka. Person had yish.
I thought that would be
because he's not loy asi. He's not going to come back. No loy hadar. He's not going to return for this. Even if he knew it was there, he's not going to return for it. You can ask him if you like, but you're taking up space, taking up time in the threshing floor. Clear it out and go and move on. Right? You don't need to. You would not be obligated to ask him.
You would think that maybe Chazal made this measurement, especially for people to know. Let's say someone like he went home. He goes, I left some grains on the threshing floor, but it was probably less than a kav, and it was in this amount. So that's the law. So I know that I'm going to go back. Someone's going to already take it. No.
Wrong way round. This law is because this guy would say, "Kavan Arba Amos, can't be bothered for that." But therefore, anyone else now is allowed to come along and take it because Chazal is saying objectively, a person would have yush.
That's what I'm saying.
They are understanding that Reuven is definitely having yush.
This person, let's say Reuven, might not necessarily had yush beforehand, but then he knew the law and he says, I know that someone's going to think that. I had Yerush.
You're not talking about a regular Reuven. You're talking about Yecheskel, who has a. There's not many Yecheskel, and many people called Yecheskel. Yeah, a strange person. Who's a captain? He's very thing. He's very particular about his property. He wants to everything. No, a regular person has Yerush, regardless of what the halacha is. Not because of the halacha. Because time is money.
I understand.
Yeah, what's the minimum wage? But maybe it's based on the minimum wage and the minimum effort. This Reuven is having yush. Yeah, regardless of whether he knows the halacha of. Now, based on the objective level that a person would have yush at, because based on however Chazal understood the minimum wage or the amount of effort a person would go to for this, right? Based upon that, we have now decided there is an objective as a result of that, you're allowed to come along and keep it. You can keep it. It's Africa.
But what I'm saying is, let's say you live in a place like, let's say, Harnof, and everybody, you would think that there's not so many Amma Aritzes there. So it could be some guy gets home and he goes, I know it's going to be there because there's more than a cup of in Arba Amos on that threshing floor.
Good.
So I know
there's
that I'm
more than a cup in Arba Amos.
So he knows. But when he goes back, he goes, I have to have Yerusha on that because I know that it's, cup in Arba Amos. So since he knows that law, he could say, whether he knows it's whether for him to make the effort to schlep all the way back to the threshing floor and get his grain or not. That could also be, you would think that could be a reason. You could be like, this is a defining line for not only...
It's the wrong way around.
Yeah.
You mean, now that we have this halacha, that it's Araka, there's a Kavan Arba Amos, maybe we'll go the other way.
No, I'm saying it could be both. It could be for people who don't know it and people who do know it. It could be that you gather it up and some guy comes back and goes, I know it was less than half of
it was a half of kav in Arba Amos, but I didn't have Yerush on it, so I'm taking you to Beis Din. Beis Din's going to say, like, no, how's he supposed to know? We have a measure. He fell in within that measure.
Right.
So if anyone who's, you know, knows the laws of Beis Din, they, you know whether, you know, it's it might still be there or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be for both
reasons. Yeah, yeah. I hear. Okay. Should we call a day here, or should we introduce the next question of the Gemara?
Maybe next time.
Next time? We'll introduce the next question of the Gemara next time. Okay, very good. I hope next time we won't need to recap so much, and we'll just be able to go. You're not going to hear. Mm.
You'll have to come back.
Yeah,
you can phone in.
Next week. It's not tomorrow.
Yeah,
you have time.
Yeah. It's only 15 hours each way, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
15 hours?
Yeah, something like that. 14 hours. Well, the layover.